King of Light. It also has sword fights! And it has all kinds of great writing, magic, danger, peril, catchphrases, we're going to get to those in a second, antics, practical effects, and guess who wrote the music? John Williams wrote the score. I told you this movie has everything, right? And it has a star-studded cast. Robin Williams is in it. Julia Roberts is in it. Dustin Hoffman is in it. Maggie Smith is in it. Gwyneth Paltrow is in it. It is an insanely stacked movie. So, my job today is, number one, to get you excited to watch or rewatch Hook. How's that one going? Going okay so far? The second one is, and this is the hard one, this is about how we sometimes, even though each one of us is important and meaningful and special in our own ways and connected to each other, how we can feel lost, how we might have to go on a journey of rediscovery, and what we might be able to do as a community to help in that journey. And then last, I have to tell you guys all about the power of belief and the role of ritual and community. Okay, so in order to do this properly, I'm gonna need help from two groups of people. The first group of people I'm gonna need help from is kids. If you are a kid, which means you haven't grown up and become a smelly grown-up, come on down to the front row. Anyone under 18? You don't have to, but you should. You should come on down to the front rows and sit in the seats, sit in the chairs, because we're going to be doing a lot of shouting. So sit in the front rows. Okay, good job. Sit over there. Sit up in the front. Great job, kids. Great job. Okay, let's give a round of applause for our kids. Yeah, good job, everybody. Okay, the second group of people that I'm going to need help from is if you have ever been a kid. Come on down to the front of the church. I'm going to need your help because we have some shouting to do together. This is anyone who is 18 years or older. Come on down to the front of the church because I'm going to need your help, and bring your shouting voices if you can. So come on down, come to the front sections. Yeah, great job. Great job. Hey kids, give a big round of applause to the adults in your life. Yay. All right. So, in order to do this right, I'm going to need your help. You got to put your thinking caps on. We're going to need to learn two phrases. The first phrase is called fart duck. And this is how you do fart duck. You take your hands, stick your thumbs and your pinkies out wide. I'm like that, perfect. I'm seeing some really good ducks. Slap them together, make a duck sandwich, and then this duck is gonna fart itself out of the sky like this. You try. Yeah, that's really good. One more time, the other direction. Ooh, that was really good. It's even working against the Coriolis effect. Great job. Okay, so that's the first one. When do we use fart duck? I'm glad you asked. Fart duck is how you say something is lame, confused, or didn't go very well. So if I said something unpopular like, hey guys, guess what? I have good news. I just invented a new food. It uses mayonnaise, dill pickles, sand, and kiwi fruits. What do you think? Is that good or is that fart duck? Yeah, good job. All right, one more thing. Hey, guess what? I just figured out a new way to get everything done. Everything done being chores. It's just that the kids do all of the chores forever and ever. You like that or is that fart duck? Fart duck. Come on, fart duck. All right, now the second one is the opposite of fart duck. The second one is if something goes really great, so great you're surprised about how good it goes, and that is if you say, oh my gosh, great job on your presentation, Joe, bang-a-ring, Joe, and you say, bang-a-ring! Let's try it. So I'll say like this. I'm gonna say, hey, bang-a-ring, Willow, bang-a-ring! You guys might need some more help with bang-a-ring. Let's look to the Bible for some examples. Okay, so you remember that one time when there was a dead girl, she was completely dead, And then her dad was like, Jesus, please come help my girl. And he went in. We have here some scripture, Matthew 9:23-26. Jesus went in and he said, that girl's not dead. She's just sleeping down. She's just laying down. Get up, dead girl. And guess what? The dead girl got up. She wasn't dead. That was pretty bangarang, Jesus. Yeah. Okay. Whoa. What about that other time? There were two blind men. And Jesus went up to them and he put some mud on their eyes. And guess what? All of the blind men, they could see again. That was really bangarang, Jesus. Yeah. Bangarang, yeah. All right, so now you've got the general idea. Okay, so as I mentioned before, my job is threefold. I got to get you excited about watching or rewatching Hook. Check. Second thing is I got to talk about the power of belief, the journey of rediscovery, and the power of ritual and community. Easy. The next one I have to do is I have to convince you of all of my Hook conspiracy theories. Ooh. So what do you think? People who have ever watched Hook, what do you think? You think Rufio is John the Baptist? He has the wild hair. He's disliked by the authorities. And he's key to the rituals that... Oh, you don't like that? Okay, fart duck. Okay, well, how about this one? Oh, do you think there's some significance in the fact that Peter, denies someone really important 3 times before the rooster crows? No? Okay. So let's fart duck this. Okay. Third time's a charm. What about the fact that Peter Pan returned on the third day when no one thought he could? Oh my gosh, look at that. Peter Pan? Has it been 3 days? You think of anybody else who returned after 3 days? No? Okay, bang, this fart duck. Okay, but I think we can all agree that this movie, as Ruth said, was made in 1991, but it knew exactly, precisely, to the date, with GPS coordinates, how we should be treating our mobile devices.
Peter, hello. Peter, you there?
That was pretty bangarang, Moira! Bangarang, Moira! Okay, let's do it one more time. We're gonna do it one more time. Here we go, now you all know how it's going, gone.
Peter, hello. Peter, you there?
Bangarang, Moira! Yes! Great work! So, what does this movie have in it? Tell us the plot. Tell us A to B. Well, guess what? Robin Williams, the man who's wearing glasses in that, is Peter Pan. But he has forgotten that. He has left a magical place where the movie takes the setting is. This is actually a world that's very different from our own. It's a place where the grown-ups in charge are complete wackadoodles. Nothing makes sense. Everything is upside down. Every interaction leaves you wondering, did that really just happen? I'm talking, of course, about England. I mean, Neverland. Neverland, sorry. It takes place in both England and Neverland. Neverland, of course, is a lot harder to get to. You have to go and travel through the stars. And Peter Pan has lived there for over 100 years. But he's left. He's come to our world, Earth. Since then, he's forgotten who he is. Guess what? He goes to visit his Granny Wendy, the person who took him in when he was a little orphan boy, because there's a big hospital getting built in her honor. And so when they go to England, a place where nothing makes sense, his children are kidnapped by the dastardly devil of the seas, the captain of the Jolly Roger, Captain James Hook. Ooh, we don't like him. He's a bad guy. He has captured Peter Pan's children, not because he likes children. Nobody likes children in Neverland. But because he's trying to start a forever war between him and Peter Pan. So, his children are kidnapped by this monster of a pirate, who's all grown up, doesn't remember how to have fun. And Peter Pan doesn't remember who he is. Even though he's Peter Pan, he can fly around, do sword fights, have all kinds of fun. He's in pretty bad shape. He's sad. He misses his kids. He's worried. And luckily, one of his friends, someone who I think some of you will recognize, Tinkerbell, comes to remind him of who he is.
Oh, my God. that bug.
You're always bigger than me, but now maybe this means you'll be twice as much fun.
Laura!
Oh, Peter! What fun we'll have again! What times! What great games!
You're a little
fairy. Pixie, and if less is more, there's no end to me, Peter Pan.
Peter Panning.
Pan.
Panning.
Pan.
Panning.
But whoever you are, it's still you. Because only one person has that smell.
Smell?
The smell of someone who's ridden the back of the wind, Peter. The smell of 100 fun summers of sleeping in trees, adventures with Indians and pirates. Oh, remember, Peter? The world was ours. We could do everything or nothing. All I had to be was anything, because it was always us.
Oh, no. It finally happened. I'm having a total nervous breakdown.
Come on, Peter, follow me and all will be well.
I'm dying. I'm heading towards the white light. I've left my body. See, there's my house, way down there. There are my feet. Oh, my God, where are we going?
Save your children, of course.
How do you know about my kids?
Everybody knows. Captain Hook's got them, and you've got to fight them. Let's fly!
It is true, then. You did grow up. I drink poison for you. You used to call me Tink. Have you forgotten everything?
Are you in there, little bug?
I'm not a bug. I'm a fairy.
I think every parent here has been corrected just like that. I'm not a bug. I'm a fairy. I'm not being a train. I'm being a dump truck. I'm not a dump truck anymore. Now I'm a sad sack of blanket that doesn't want to play. Well, I love this clip. Plus, who doesn't like to see a 1990s dad get knocked around a little bit? So, I really wonder what must be going through Peter Pan's mind. He knows that the danger is real. He sees in front of him the evidence that beings, creatures, and powers outside of his normal understanding do exist. And yet, even when he's confronted with all of this evidence that, yes, this is real, it's happening, he can't find himself the ability to believe. And maybe that's part of this whole journey, is taking a step towards disbelief. Actually, Matthew and Ruth have done a really good job of talking about how disbelief or doubt is actually a part of faith. It's a step on the journey that we go in together. And it's not just for people who live today. There's actually a story about Doubting Thomas. Oh, sorry, that's the wrong picture. There we go. So in John 20, 24 to 29, Thomas, a disciple of Jesus who's witnessed miracles, who's heard and understood Jesus' teachings, is told that he is back, and yet, despite overwhelming evidence from people he believes in, trusts, sort of unprecedented times, he still cannot believe. He has to be shown even more evidence before he's willing to accept that what is right in front of his eyes is actually taking place. So, do any of you have a hard time sometimes believing? Maybe believing in yourself? Maybe believing that you're a part of an important piece of what God wants for us? No, that's nice. Well, guess what? Despite Peter Pan's disbelief, his friend, Tinkerbell, using her magical pixie dust, transports him from London to Neverland, specifically in the Lost Boys camp. And this same thing happens to him there. He is transported to another world, another planet. He sees all kinds of crazy things happening. And still, it's not in his wheelhouse to understand what's going on. So, this next clip, we're going to see him being presented with the evidence that he is in a magical world, that he is not on planet Earth anymore. And still, he'll have a hard time understanding what's going on. All because disbelief and doubt have become so deep-seated in what he is. Even though everyone is there to remind him, he can't remember who he is.
can't fly, fight, or crow. So, if any of you says this here skug ain't Peter Pan, cross the line.
Hi. What? Be right back. What?
You are embarrassing me.
This drooler against Capitan Hook.
What's he doing here if he's not Peter Pan, huh? He don't look happy here. And all them kids who's got, give him a chance.
I love this clip. It's so touching. This little boy, Pockets, great name. Pockets actually takes a minute to look for his friend inside of his friend. Sometimes we need a friend or someone who's there to remind us of who we are. Oftentimes I wonder if Jesus ever felt doubt or at least trepidation on his journey. We know that he had 12 really important friends with him, the apostles. I wonder if any of them offered the kind of help that Pockets offers Peter Pan in this clip. You can see that he's the first one to cross the line of disbelief, probably both because he still doesn't believe what's going on and because he wants an out, which we've seen in the Bible too. Do any of you have friends or family that have helped you along your journey? For me, this is such a good reminder of the importance that those family and friends can play in rediscovering or discovering faith or feeling more comfortable with who you are. I see in this how different people can be the many parts of one body, of how we actually all need each other, even people as cool and magical and brave and confident as Peter Pan. It's not just about working together, it's often about helping each other not be lost anymore. Later, when these same lost boys have finally decided to give Peter Banning, aka Peter Pan, a chance, we see them participating in an important ritual, a ritual of a huge make-believe meal. It's a meal that has all kinds of laughter and enthusiasm, and let's just go ahead and look at what it looks like from Peter Banning's perspective.
Why do you have them?
We have them so we don't have to use
them. Don't help me!
Everybody say grace.
Bless this, O Lord.
Food.
If you can't imagine yourself being Peter Pan, you won't be Peter Pan, so eat up!
Eat what? There's nothing here. Gandhi ate more than this.
Another England reference. And why does he need to eat up? Because he's got a big, big job. Captain Hook has not just taken his kids, but he's in the middle of turning them into pirates. Turning Peter Pan's own children against him. Pretty dastardly thing to do, right? Well, Captain Hook is desperate. He wants to have a war with Peter Pan, and he sees this as one of the only ways he can do that. So what do we see right here? More doubt, more disbelief, and this is after days of working hard and training and trying to remember all of the things that he used to be able to do, allegedly. We still see some doubt, but more so, we even see some misunderstanding. There is clearly an entire feast laid out on this table. It's been prepared by the scouts, the Lost Boys, and everyone is able to participate except for him. If you'll remember, the apostles often would misunderstand Jesus' teachings even after they've spent months or even years together. They've witnessed miracles. They've helped him. He's done amazing things in front of them. Healed people. Brought people back to life. And still, when there's a woman who's sick or there's people who need food, the apostles, the very friends, the closest friends of Jesus, will say things like, "Oh, Jesus, do you want us to send this woman away? Is it time to dismiss the crowd so they can go home for lunch because we don't have enough?" And Jesus says, "No! Have you not been paying attention? Have you not been seeing how this is unfolding?" Even people who have direct access into what's going on sometimes forget, sometimes misunderstand, or sometimes doubt the validity of what's going on. Sometimes I feel that way myself. I feel like I've been given a lot of chances to understand, and yet I can't seem to connect the dots, especially with so much going on. Distractions, work, phone, looking as good as I do. There's a lot of things competing for my time. And so sometimes if there's something magical in front of me, right in front of me, I can't see it. So I understand. How Peter Pan must have felt, and probably how the apostles felt when they would misunderstand what Jesus had been saying this whole time. So at this part of the movie, things are looking pretty bleak. Captain Hook has a whole army of pirates. They have all kinds of traps set for him. Tink still believes in him, but the jury is still out on whether he really is the Pan, whether he really is this sort of legendary, fantastical figure that everybody understands and can grapple with, but isn't sure that he's the right one. Maybe he's not the Pan. Maybe he's some old, fat grandpa man, which is how some of them still call him. So, eventually, though, something changes. Something happens where he's able to actually focus on what's in front of him. He lets down his guard. It's been a long, long day. His body is broken. His spirit is probably broken. But he's still desperate to get his children, Maggie and Jack, back. And eventually, he starts to understand just what is before him.
You're doing it.
Doing what?
Using your imagination, Peter.
Wow, what a change. In an instant, what to Peter at first was not enough, nothing, less than Gandhi-ate, suddenly there's more than enough to go around. So much that they have enough to even food fight with. Can anybody think of a time where this might have happened in the Bible? Through the power of belief, a vast crowd of people who had come to hear teachings were fed with a handful of loaves, a small number of fishes and fish heads. We see here the power of belief that can actually wrestle away that stickiness of doubt, the stickiness of disbelief. And it isn't possible right away. It takes us a long time to see what's right in front of us. In the Bible, Here we have a verse from Matthew. There's a great crowd gathered, and of course, one of the apostles suggests sending them away to go home, and of course, Jesus says, no, that's not the right approach. Don't you see, after all this time, that we do have enough? Let me pray over these loaves, pray over these fishes. What ends up happening is everyone eats their fill. There are lots and lots of leftovers, and it's considered a huge miracle, and it's done through the power of belief. In fact, it says that through this, Jesus was able to feed over 5,000. Over 5,000 people? That was really bang-a-rang, Jesus! Bang-a-rang! Great job. You guys got it. So, what have we learned? There are lots of things going on in our world at any given time. And a lot of times when they're causing us to stray from who we are, maybe who God made us to be, who we are in our community, they can feel like downright dirty distractions, requirements, things that don't add value. But of course, taken individually, they do. For us, it might be a job that we really love or that we think is really important. For Peter Pan, leaving Neverland was a really good thing. He fell in love with Moira, his wife. He had his children, but believe it or not, children can be distracting. They can make you forget something that you just knew you were about to do. I know that may come as a surprise. But at the end of the day, we are a community, and we can work together to remind and center each other, especially through ritual. So what is a ritual? Well, a ritual is an act or series of acts that effectively reminds us how to remember. In Cedar Ridge, we have a ritual called communion. And communion is a way to remember something that happened a long, long time ago, but that's still happening today, still happening within ourselves. It's not quite as fun as a food fight, but it's still pretty good. We can all relate to Peter Pan, but nobody really has exactly the same thing as he does going on. Peter Pan needs to go back to Neverland in order to find his children, in order to remember joy, fun, adventure. But each of us has a version of that, something that we probably feel like is within us but isn't getting enough attention. So we have something special today. I'd like to, if it's possible, ask the band come back up, if that's okay. And together, we're going to be taking communion as a way to remember. We have on these communion tables some gluten-free wafers and some bread as a symbology, and also some fruit juice. But we've included one more thing. We've included a small dish of marbles. What is the purpose of this marble? Well, we would like you to take one of these marbles home, if you wish, you don't have to, as a small reminder of how important you are, how Jesus has a plan for you, how you're part of this bigger community, and of that thing or several things inside of yourself that maybe you've forgotten. You can keep it at home, you can carry it with you, or you can bring it to church. You can bring it to Cedar Ridge when you come. And just as a reminder that, there are things that we can lose sight of and may struggle to remember. So, there's one more person that I want to introduce you to. Sorry about that. We're going to watch real quick. Sorry, band, I did this out of order because I've done a lot of fart duck in my life. But we have one more clip for each of you, and it's a great clip. It reminds me of what it feels like to be loved by God. This is actually when Peter Pan remembers his happy thought. He finds Toodle's bag of marbles, and let's watch that now.
You are the Pan.
He can fight, fly, and crow. Have you ever felt like you're flying? Like you're on top of the world? I love this clip so much. To me, it reminds me of the passage when we're reminded that before we were even born, God knew who we were, what we're about to do, and everything else. So even if we've forgotten, God hasn't forgotten. This clip reminds me of the safety in feeling belief, feeling connected to faith, feeling like I'm part of something bigger, part of a community, part of a group. So happy that you want to shout even without words. You could crow, you could sing. We have some wonderful singers up on the stage now. Thank you, guys. And I would love to encourage each of you to take a marble. Take them home with you, keep them close, as a reminder not just of what's in you, but to be there for people who you feel might be lost, who may have forgotten just how important and special they are. And like pockets, trust, be gentle with people, and help remind them of just how special they are. So please, when you feel ready, We're going to sing and play a little bit of music up here, but we have communion available for each of you over here and in the center tables. And thank you very much, and we'll have the band go ahead and get started.